If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the portion of Scripture that was read earlier, and we're going to read just one verse in a moment in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, and then I'll give you a verse in Exodus, chapter number 15, verse 26. But in Acts, chapter number 10, the Bible says in verse 38, Peter is preaching. He's preaching to Cornelius, and he says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the last part of that verse, the Word of God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And I ask you, Lord, that you might help me tonight, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your Spirit. And dear Lord, that you would take this message you've given me and do what I cannot do, and that is to speak to the hearts of people. And Lord, open our minds and our hearts of understanding. And dear Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not sure they're going to heaven, may this be their day of salvation. But help all of us when we leave here tonight make a difference in this world. May we please you with our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now Peter says, I'm an eyewitness of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I witnessed it. I saw it. I knew him. I saw how he worked. And he says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I mean, he was a witness to that. And then he said, who went about doing good. Boy, what a testimony for a ministry. Just doing good. And then he said, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I read that a while back. I've read it so many times like you, and God just spoke to my heart about the healing touch of God. And tonight, I want to speak on that subject, the healing touch of God. Now, the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, when you start talking to Baptists, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I don't know whether God heals. Now, we believe God can heal. Do you believe that tonight? And, of course, when we talk about that subject, we usually are talking about healing physically. And I'm so glad that I have seen people have a touch of God. I remember when I was a young Christian, back in the early 80s, I was in a meeting, and it was one of the meetings where all the fellowship of the pastors were together in Chattanooga, and there was several thousand pastors there, or Christian workers, and they were having a meeting, and one of the men who was scheduled to speak that night was Dr. Dolphus Price. And I love Dr. Dolphus Price. I was looking forward to hearing him. And it was announced in the meeting that he was in Birmingham, Alabama, and that he would not be able to attend the meeting because he was taken ill. He was at the hospital. They examined him, found out that he had cancer and that they could not do anything with him. And so they announced in the meeting that our dearly beloved Dr. Dolphus Price is in Birmingham, Alabama. He has cancer, and he has a short term to live. Now, remember, we're at a preacher's meeting, and so we were all saddened. We were very saddened. And so we did what the right thing to do. We decided that we would take up an offering and help his family with the burial expense. And so they did. I think they collected about $25,000 in that meeting. And then after the meeting, somebody took the offering down, and Dr. Price said, well, I really believe God's going to heal me. And we said, and the pastors that went said, well, we're praying for that, but just in case he doesn't, we want to help your family with your final expenses. He said, well, I'd rather you pray for my healing. Well, God did touch Dr. Price, and we started the Gulf Coast Baptist Church in 1989, and in 1992, Dr. Price preached for me at Gulf Coast Baptist Church, and what a great guy. And he had many years after the early 80s of serving the Lord. God touched him, I learned something then. When you ask most people to pray for your healing, they will say amen with a shovel in their hand. Oh, not a whole lot of faith there, you know. My dear mother, right after she was saved and when she was 60 years old. And shortly after she was saved, she was diagnosed with cancer, and it was devastating to our family. She had surgery at the Cape Coral Hospital, and the doctor came in and told my brother and I and other family members that my mother's cancer was pretty serious and that she would have not very long to live, and maybe a year, maybe less. And we were devastated. And so my mother just received the Lord and was excited about it, being saved. And after the doctor left the room, he was a wonderful guy. And after the doctor left the room, my brother and I knelt down beside her bed, and she said to us, "Honey, I want to live. I want to live. I want to do something." And my brother and I prayed that God would touch her, extend her life, that she might know the joy of serving the Lord in a local church. Now, God was merciful, and God touched her, and she had cancer, and she died of cancer, but she was 70 years old when she died. And God let her see the joy of serving Him. One of our dear men, Brother Rick Dugan, honestly, one of the finest men that we ever had at Gulf Coast Baptist Church. I remember when he got saved. Just a few weeks shy of being a member of the Gulf Coast Baptist Church for 17 years, he went home to be with the Lord. When he was diagnosed with cancer, he had a little spot on his shoulder, and the doctor said, "Well, this is pretty serious. It's the worst kind of skin cancer you can get." And he said, "You won't be long. We won't live long." And our church prayed earnestly for Brother Rick. Honestly, we prayed like we'd never prayed for anyone. And Rick suffered. It got worse, continued to get worse. And I was with Rick when he went home to be with the Lord. I never will forget it. And Rick went home to be with God. Before he went home to be with the Lord, he said, "Preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand why God doesn't heal me." And I said, "Rick, you know, I don't either. That's one of the things that we'll just wait to see God to find out. But I can tell you this, Rick, that God has given us grace, and God has used your sickness to heal some families in our church. For the first time, families were united and praying together, and as a family altar, praying for Brother Rick Dugan. And I saw God heal our church through some things because Rick went through that cancer. Now, he went home to be the Lord. God didn't heal him physically. But God did an amazing work in his life. When Paul asked God to heal him, he asked him three times, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, when we talk about the healing touch of God, we usually talk about physical healing. And I'm glad I can say tonight that I have seen God touch people's lives, and I have seen God extend lives, and I have seen God heal people. Now, he doesn't always do that. But there's one thing He always does. He gives us His grace. But we read in our text where the Lord Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And I want you to think tonight about the healing touch of God. Now, I'm not talking about physical healing tonight, but I am talking about the healing that only God can give. And there's areas in our life that God always heals. He never fails. And I'd like for you to write some of them down. Now, time would not permit me to cover all of them, but I'm going to give you some that I think would help you tonight. By the way, we're praying that God will heal our nation. I believe God can do that, don't you? I believe He can. He said, "I'm the Lord that healeth thee." Now, does God heal? Sometimes He heals physically, but He always heals in these areas that I'm going to cover tonight. Number one, He heals those who are dead in trespasses and sin. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2. The Word of God says, "And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, you don't get any greater healing than being brought to life from death. The greatest healing that anyone will ever experience is when they trust the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. On July the 22nd, 1976, I walked into a church service. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was 26 years old. My brother was preaching that night. First time I ever heard him preach. And he opened the Bible and preached on Andrew, found his own brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Christ. That night, I sit as far back in that meeting as a person could sit. He preached that night about God's love and how God died for our sin. I was sitting in that meeting and God was speaking to my heart. He shared with me the glorious gospel of Christ. And that night, I said yes to the Lord Jesus. I asked God to come into my heart and save me. I turned my life over to the Lord. And that night, I had the healing touch of God. I was born into the family of God. Now listen, friend. There is not a greater healing than that. Some of you have family members who are lost and on their way to hell. They're dead in trespasses and sin. Can God heal them? Oh, yes. Every person that comes to Christ believing the gospel and turning to the Lord in repentance and faith, every person that says yes to the Lord Jesus, God brings them to life. And He writes their name down in heaven. That happens around here every week. Isn't it exciting to see that God is still in the saving business? And when people say to you, does God heal? Oh, yes. We've seen some miracles around here. We've seen those dead in trespasses and sin be born into the family of God. What a miracle that is! And I'm glad I can say tonight that God is still in the healing business. Last week, Brother Matt, he has a man he's been working with, he does business with, been working for many years with him. And the guy had some trouble and just a great guy, great businessman. And God brought him through some circumstances. And Brother Matt's been a faithful witness to him, giving him the gospel, letting him read some tracts and literature. Last Sunday morning, he came to our church. He sat in the back, a fine man, just an outstanding businessman. And God got a hold of his heart. And I could tell during the service that God was dealing with him. You know, you can always see those people that God's dealing with. And when we gave the invitation, he came forward and trusted Christ his Savior. Oh, my goodness. I thought Matt was going to come off the balcony. He was so excited. I never heard him shout hallelujah, amen, so loud. And I'm glad tonight that I can say God still saves. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Thank God He heals people. Not only does He heal those who are dead in trespasses and sin, but the Word of God says He heals and renews our minds. I want you to notice in the Word of God in Romans chapter number 12. In Romans chapter number 12, the Word of God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when people get saved, that's not the end of what God's going to do in their life. The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And God wants to heal and renew our minds. I got saved when I was 26 years old. And my family thought I was crazy. My brother would tell people, pray for my crazy brother. He's like a wild man. And when God saved me, He did such a work in my life. And I was taught how to read the Word of God and meditate on the Bible and let God work in my life. And Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to know tonight that God wants to heal and renew your mind. He wants to help you. In Luke chapter number 8, there was a crazy man who the Lord Jesus came to, and the Gadarene maniac. And the Bible says, he fell down at the feet of Jesus. You know the story. He was filled with devils and they went into the pigs and ran off into the cliff. And the people in the city would rather have their pigs than God's working. But God saved that man. And they went out to see the man, the Bible says in Luke 8:38, went out to see the man out of whom the devils had departed, and found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and listen, in his right mind. People need their thinking changed if they're going to live for God. When people trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they need a renewed mind. Can you imagine today all that goes through the minds and hearts of people? And when they trust the Lord Jesus and as their personal Savior and they're born into the family of God, God gives them new life. But they need that healing touch of God. They need their mind renewed. You know what you pray for with your children is you pray that they might have the right thinking about things. Thinking about it. I love talking with my children, my girls. My wife and I spend a lot of time just talking. I've enjoyed talking with my grandchildren. I've cherished those days. And I like to know how they think. I want to know what's on their minds. But I do understand this, that the Word of God has the power to renew our mind. And there are people today that need that healing touch of God. And God always renews your mind. You know, one of the great lessons I learned in the work of the Lord, I learned from a layman when I was in Chattanooga. We were out visiting one day, and he said, "Brother Tom, I want to teach you one of the greatest truths I ever discovered about God and His work." I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "When the devil sinned, he became the complete opposite of God. No matter how hard he tries, he's the complete opposite of God." And he said, "If you ever find God's order, reverse it, and you'll see how the devil works." He said, for example, God says a man is the head of his house. The wife is to submit and follow, and children are to honor and obey. Amen? But in the world, it's a little different. The children are the head. The wife want to know what, and then they all work on daddy. How many know what I'm talking about? God saves your soul. You give Him your body, and He renews your mind. That's what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 teaches us. God saves your soul. Give Him your body. He renews your mind. The devil wants your mind to get your body to condemn your soul. And so we understand that God can renew the minds of people. And you know, when people get saved, they need that healing touch of God on their life. They need to know that God can change their thinking. God can change the way about they think about things. God can change their belief. God can work in their hearts and renew their mind. And that's one of the exciting things about God. Yes, the Bible says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." I'm so glad that God can heal people's minds. There's another area that God always heals. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. In Hebrews chapter number 9, the Word of God says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience?" God wants to heal and purge our conscience. You know, we're living in an unusual day in America. We're living in a day where so much is accepted. Do you know, in just a few short years, we've seen such advancements with the devil and his kingdom because people accept so much today. My wife told me one day, she said, "Honey, I found a great verse. You ought to preach on it." I said, "Really?" Now, she never does this. I said, "You got a verse I should preach on. That's interesting." She said, "Oh, you'll like this verse." I said, "What is it?" Now, she's not like this. She's quiet and shy. She teaches a ladies' Bible class, but she's not. She said, "This verse is so powerful." I said, "What is it?" Proverbs 18:5. And she quoted the verse. I said, "Well, that's good." And so we were going on a few days later, and something happened, and she said, "I'm telling you, that's that verse. And I said, "Well, tell me again." She told me again. I said, "All right, I'll think about it." And then something else came up. She said, I'm telling you, this is that verse. I said, all right. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow righteous in judgment. And she says, you know, what's wrong with people is they accept so much things they shouldn't, and it changes everything in their life. And I thought, wow, she may be called to preach after all. You know, if you and I sat down with the generation of young people today and they didn't know we were Christians, and they started telling us about the things that they've done, you and I would be horrified. We have a generation of young people that has defiled their conscience. And every day and every year, it's getting worse. Because people have accepted something as standard behavior. And it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow righteous in judgment. You know, I used to hear that you don't get what you expect, you get what you inspect. But the truth of the matter is, that's not altogether true. Because you become what you accept. And once you accept something, everything is changed. And so we have a generation of young people and a generation of people, not just young people, who have accepted behavior that's so forbidden in the Word of God. They've done things that they cannot believe they have done. And when they trust the Lord as Savior, they're excited about it. They're thrilled that they know Christ is Savior. And they get their mind renewed. Hallelujah for that. But their conscience has been defiled. Their conscience condemns them. And they start off exciting and they're going forward and boy, things are so good. And then all of a sudden, this cloud comes over them and they realize what they've done. And their conscience is defiled. Maybe they took a life of a child before it was born. Maybe they did something with their bodies. Maybe somebody did something to them. But their conscience has been defiled. Is there any hope for a person like that? I got good news. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, David did some horrible things. He did some terrible things. And when he confessed his sin to God, one of the things he said is, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Then he went on to say, purge me. Get it out of me. Help me, dear God, never, ever to accept this again. Oh God, purge me. And God did purge him. And he finished his journey with a heart for God, because God can heal a defiled conscience. Aren't you glad God can do that? When you read about the people who traveled with the Lord Jesus, imagine the woman at the well. Been married 5 times, given up on marriage. Now she's living with someone. She comes to the Lord Jesus. He tells her how to be saved. She's excited about it. And she wanted to know something. She wanted to know, how do you worship God? She asked the Lord, she told the Lord, one day the Messiah is coming, and the Lord Jesus told her, the first person on earth that Christ ever said this, that He was the Messiah. First person that ever heard the Lord Jesus say, He is God in the flesh. The first person was the woman at the well. And she said, we know about worship. And He said, oh, God is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and truth. He's talking to her about God, about who He is, about worshiping, about having your heart cleansed and your conscience purified and purged. And the disciples are looking, they're thinking, what in the world is going on here? And she gets up, she's so excited, she leaves her water pot, goes to the village and tells everybody, come see a man that told me everything that ever was done. How did she do that? How could she face people who knew her? How did she do it? Because God not only saves people and renews their mind, but God heals a defiled conscience. And if people don't have that healing, they're not going to go far for God. Because the Bible says, add to your faith virtue. That's purity. Is it possible for a person who has done some horrible things to have purity of life? Is it possible for a person to have a conscience that is not defiled? Oh, yes. God is able to do that. How does He do it? He does it by meditating on the Word of God and letting God purge your conscience. You see, we have to sin against our conscience before we sin. For example, let's say a man is working in a grocery store. He's a butcher. And his wife calls and says, "Honey, we don't have anything for dinner. Can you bring home a roast?" And he says, "Okay, I'll do that." And then he looks and in the meat department and he looks and, "Oh, here's a roast. Tomorrow they're going to discount it, maybe not even be able to sell it." And he thinks, "You know, I've worked for this grocery store for years. I'm a good employee. I work hard. They really don't pay me what they do across town. And you know what? I deserve this." And he takes it. Before he ever took it, he defiled his conscience. The sin was not taking it. The sin was the defiling of his conscience. That's why the Lord Jesus said, if you think like this, if you give your mind and your heart to it, you have defiled something inside of you. Can God heal a person like that? Oh, yeah. Once they have their mind renewed and their conscience purged, they can live the Christian life with a pure conscience before God and serve the Lord and not be condemned by their own conscience. Oh, listen. We need to help people understand that God can heal their conscience. Being a pastor, I've heard things that other people don't hear, and I try not to let people tell me about their sin because I don't need to know that. But sometimes people do horrible things and they cannot live with themselves even after trusting the Lord as Savior, and especially after they have their mind renewed and they know that what they did was so wrong. And they say, "Pastor, how can I ever look? How can I look at a child? How can I even hold my children and know what I've done with my life?" It's because God not only saves people, but God heals people. He heals their minds. He renews them. He purges a defiled conscience. The only way David could go on for God was he found forgiveness and he let the Lord purge and heal his conscience. We wonder sometimes why people stop. Why do they stop? Why do they start singing in the choir and doing so many things and then all of a sudden they stop? What's going on? Inside of their heart and their conscience, they're having a hard time with it. But the good news is that God can purge your conscience. You see, He said, "I'm the Lord that healeth thee." He also heals a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit. You know, David said, "Lord, help me. Renew a right spirit within me." The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, the Word of God says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it?" One of the things that I caution all of our workers at Gulf Coast Baptist Church who work with children I caution them, be very careful. Don't wound the spirit of children. Be very careful. Children have such a wonderful spirit. Be careful. Don't wound the spirit of a person. But there are people who have lost their joy. Their spirit has been wounded. Can God do anything with a person like that? Oh yeah. God specializes in it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Do you know you ought to be excited about things? Amen? I tell people, enthusiasm is so important. If you don't have it, pretend you've got it. Do you get the real thing? The joy of the Lord is still our strength. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You have to teach people how to rejoice. Find something to thank God about, because it's not only what God says in everything we give thanks to the Lord, but God commands us to do that. But when a person does it, God heals that wounded spirit. He heals them. And I want you to know tonight that God is still healing in the healing business. Do you believe that tonight? I say, He always does. He never fails. He heals those who are dead in trespasses and sin. He heals and renews our minds. He heals and purges our conscience. He heals the wounded spirit. Listen, He heals the brokenhearted. Listen what the Bible says in Psalm 147, verse number 3. The Bible says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know God can heal a broken heart. Have you ever had your heart broken? Have you ever had somebody break your heart? Do you know what happens to a person who's had a broken heart? They have difficulty loving again. They put a wall up. You know, they just don't ever risk loving anybody again. Can you imagine what a church would be like if the pastor never got his broken heart healed? And by the way, if you've been in the ministry, you've had your heart broken. The Apostle Paul talked about to young Timothy. He said, remember Demas? He's forsaken me. Oh, that was a hurt in his heart. He loved him. He was a fellow soldier. He was someone that stood with him. And now he's gone. And Paul reminded Timothy, there's going to be people that will break your heart. You're going to love them. And they're going to leave you. And they're going to hurt you. And your heart is going to be broken. But you cannot serve God and be effective in the Lord's work if you cannot love people. People need to be loved. God created us with an emptiness that only He can fill. And one of the needs of every person is the need to be loved. You say, how do you do that? You just press on and ask God to help you to love again. Because until love is in it, it's not going to make a difference. Aren't you glad that God can heal a broken heart? Aren't you glad He can do that? I'm sure there are people here tonight that have had your heart broken. Maybe a child broke it. Maybe your husband or your wife. Maybe a family member. Maybe a friend broke your heart. Well, listen, you've got to love again. You got to keep going and love again. Because God can heal. The Bible says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let me give you one more. There's so many areas that God heals. I want you to turn back to our text tonight in Acts chapter number 10. The Apostle Peter said, I want to tell you something about the Lord. I watched Him. I saw Him. I can tell you that God anointed him with power. I can tell you that he went about doing good. Oh my goodness, the Lord Jesus always did good. But I'm a witness to this. I watched the Lord Jesus do this. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. That verse got my attention. Oppressed of the devil. You know, the devil cannot possess a child of God. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When God saves you, he seals you with the Spirit of God. He's in you. And the devil cannot get in you. Now, he can put thoughts in your mind. He can be a problem to you. He can be a thorn in your flesh. But he cannot possess you. But he can oppress you. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, what's that mean? Well, simply it means he holds you back. He presses you down. He keeps you from doing something for God with your life. He holds you down. Pushes you back. Keeps you from finding that one thing that God has for you. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, I've given some thought to this, and it really stirs my heart to think about how God does it. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 22, verse number 3, that God inhabits the praise of Israel. Now, what that means is that God inhabits the praise of His people. In other words, when you sing these great hymns of faith and you're praising the Lord, you sense and feel the presence of God. I could sense God's presence in this service. Could you, during the music? And the special tonight, when he was singing, I could sense and feel the presence of God. God inhabits the praise of His people. Now, God's in us. He's around us. He's here. God is always here. But God inhabits the praise of His people. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Do you know that the Lord Jesus destroys the works of the devil? Do you believe that tonight? And one of the things the devil does is he oppresses people. He does everything in his power to hold you down, to keep you from stepping forward, from doing something for God with your life. Is there any hope? Oh, yeah. Because the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, how does He do that? Well, real simple. You just start praising God. That's why everybody ought to pick up a songbook and start singing in church. Say, I don't feel like singing. That's all right. Sing anyway. Because God inhabits the praise of His people. You say, well, I don't really get into it. Go ahead and do it anyway, because God inhabits the praise of His people. And when the Lord manifests His presence, just like He did in our service tonight, the works of the devil is destroyed. In other words, he can't oppress you if you're the kind of Christian that rejoices and praises God. And so, when you feel that you've been held back, you know, there's people here tonight, you've been held back on so much God wants you to do with your life. You say, why? Because the devil oppresses God's people. And Peter said, I want to tell you one thing, that I was an eyewitness. I saw this. I saw how the Lord went about with God's anointing on His life, doing good and healing all that were oppressed. No wonder people got excited and started doing something for God with their life, because the works of the devil is destroyed. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. When you think about all these things the devil beats you up with, do you know you're given a place for him? and he will oppress you till you die. But you don't have to be that way. You don't have to live like that, because you can go forward and find that one thing that God has for you. You know, one of my favorite conversions in the Bible is the Gadarene maniac. I like it. It's recorded in Mark's Gospel and Luke. And in Mark's Gospel, the Bible says, and same in Luke, they said the Lord, this maniac came and he besought the Lord that he might be with him. And the Lord said no. The Lord said, return to thine own house. In Mark chapter 5, he said, and thy friends and thy family, and show them what great things God has done for you. And guess what the Bible says in Mark chapter 5? It says simply, he began. Just that simple. He got started. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Everything you start for God continues to the trumpet sounds. Now, why don't more people get things started? Do you know when you witness to someone, God begins something in their life? Would you like to see God begin a work in your family? Get started. Would you like to see God begin a work in your school? Get started. Would you like to see God begin a work at the workplace? Get started. And God begins. He promised, lo, I am with you. And when you get started, God begins a work. Now, how does that happen? Because God will destroy the works of the devil. And one of the devil's most powerful weapon is oppressing God's people. We don't have to be oppressed. Now, people in our country are so discouraged, you can hardly talk to them about what's going on in America. It'd discourage anybody. But that doesn't have to be the way it is in the work of the Lord. Because God is still God. And He promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Does God heal? Oh, yeah. Sometimes He heals physically, and thank God for that. He always gives us grace. But God always heals those who come believing the gospel, who are dead in trespasses and sin. He always renews our mind. He always purges our conscience. He always heals our broken spirit. He always heals our broken heart. And God always heals those who are oppressed of the devil. Why don't you let the healing touch of God work in your life?
Our Father in heaven, we do surrender afresh as best we can all that we have and are. Thank you, dear God, for Brother Saxon, the message that you laid on his heart for us. And thank you, God, for encouraging us, speaking to our hearts, and convicting us through your word. I pray, Father, that you'll give them safety as they travel home. But mostly, Father, help us, Lord, to leave this place with a greater understanding of what it means that you are the God that healeth. Trusting you, turning to you always. We give you praise for that. We give you praise now, Father, for those who have already, at this moment, sought the specific healing that they need in their hearts and their lives. We pray for fruit that remains because of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Glad you came tonight. Let me tell you something you don't know. You don't know that 6 weeks ago he had full knee replacement surgery and didn't tell you about it and came here, stood up here and preached, drove 6 hours, 6 hours by the time they get home. And preached his heart out, and I'm thankful for that. That encouraged me alone, just that he would do that. So, are you glad you saved? Amen. Fellowship for a while. God bless you all. You're dismissed.